Good morning. I feel so tall up here. I'm standing on a riser, so yay. Welcome to the Lord's house this first Sunday of the Advent season. At least we have a little bit better weather today. Not so icy and nasty. Quick welcome to Michael DeVoe, who is filling in for Angie on our organ this morning. Welcome, Michael. Checked in with Pastor Dennis yesterday. Actually, I sent him a picture from our dinner and teased him a little bit about not being there. But he's doing well. Improving a little bit more all the time. So we still have him in our prayers. Patricia Plum has partnered with Terrace Park and is offering a four-week grievance class. There's more information about that in the bulletin insert. Today is your final chance to sign up for caroling, which is next week after the 11 o'clock service. We'll have some sandwiches, quick little light lunch, and then divide into groups and go spread a little Christmas cheer to some of our shut-ins. So please, help us out with that. We've already talked to several of them, and they're really looking forward to it. Today is also the last day to talk to Chris Martinson. If you want some of those very nice little scroll sod ornaments, got to get that order in today. Our annual food drive is underway. So bring your food, put it under the tree. This helps supplement our food pantry downstairs. This time of year, we give out more food than just our average weekly amount. So anything we add to it to help supplement all that is great. Giving envelopes should be available hopefully by next week. They haven't quite made it into the office, so thus they haven't made it up here. If you want your tithes and offerings to be counted on this year's statement that Carol will send to you, you gotta have it here by Christmas Eve morning. Because if you wait till the 31st, the next week, it's not gonna make it in. Because it won't be till the 2nd before any of our people count. So make sure you do that. And I think that, our Christmas card. The church Christmas card is back there. Sign it. Whatever money you save on postage and buy-in cards, donate. Give it as a donation. This goes into the Disciples Mission Fund. So, okay. I figure I'll get this all down pat by the time Dennis gets back. Anyway, can we please rise while Ryan leads us in their call to worship?
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to join me in the call to worship this morning. Praise the Lord.
It is good to sing praise to our God.
It is pleasant and right to praise him.
Great and mighty is our Lord.
His wisdom cannot be measured. We'll now sing hymn number 119, stanzas 1, 2, and 4 of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God. Come to thee, O Israel. come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's deep shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to Desire of nations bind, all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace.
Merciful and loving God, for the privilege to offer you praise and worship this first Sunday of Advent and to proclaim the great measure of your grace in Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. For as 1 John 4:14 tells us, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. To the glory of Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Please be seated. One of the ways we celebrate the beginning of the Advent season is by gathering around the Advent wreath. The circular pattern of the wreath and the evergreen garland remind us that our assurance of life everlasting comes from God's grace through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Three of the four weekly candles are blue in color. Blue is to be considered the color of hope. Often these same three colors, candles, are purple. Purple is the color of royalty, as we acknowledge Christ as King of Kings. The third weekly candle is the color of violet. It is symbolic of repentance, and the white color of the Christ candle is in the center of the wreath, celebrates Christ's purity. The first Sunday of the Advent season, the first candle to be lit is called the Candle of Hope. Hope is an enduring characteristic essential to life. It is with hopefulness that we endeavor in our daily tasks. It is with hope that we anticipate a brighter future. It is even through hope that we endure hardship, loss, and aspire toward the everlasting blessing discovered by our loved ones and friends who have passed on before us. There's probably nothing more endearing in life than holding an infant child. For the infant in our arms reminds us just how much hope we anticipate in the living presence of a new generation. In our own children and grandchildren, and as we celebrate the birth of Christ, the Christ child, we feel renewed. For the youngest among us foster hope. The hope that past sins and difficulties are forgiven. The hope that a better life is assured in the newest of generations. So this morning we are grateful that the first candle of hope will be lit by Immaculate Gilmey and Jeff D. Sylvain.
Possibility, there is no greater emotion in life than hopefulness. Hope may center on the expectations that a special dream may be fulfilled, or it may involve around the pending arrival of a loved one after a long absence. Whenever the circumstances, hope engenders wonder and anticipation. As the seasons of the adventure begin this Sunday morning, may we pause to consider how much Mary must have been energized by hopefulness as she anticipated the promised birth of the Christ child.
For as the angel Gabriel had proclaimed, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him king as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendant of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Luke 1, verse 31b to 33. As we light the first candle of the Advent, with grief, the candle of hope, may our lives always be filled with the same kind of eager hopefulness that Mary experienced, that as she awaited the birth of her son and our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Please take a moment to welcome everybody this morning. It's so nice to see everybody.
Can we please be seated? Can we be seated, please, while our children come forward?
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
This morning, we're doing something a little bit different for our children's message. We have a presentation to make to some of our children. These are awards that they have earned in our latest attendance challenge. Now, if you remember, several months ago, we awarded some Bibles to some of our children. Well, those children who have again earned a reward now get a very nice Bible carrying case that fits the Bibles they earned earlier. On the front, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So, here's who gets them. Well, we're going to start with Miss McKenna Miller. You get to have one of those. And then, just to keep it in the family, we're going to give Miss Sydney Miller one also. And then Mr. Troy Wilson gets one. And do we suppose that little sister gets one too? Do you suppose so? Yeah, Miss Dagny gets one too. There we go. And then of the children that are here, we have one who didn't earn a Bible last time, but she has earned one this time. So Miss Alina Gordon earns herself one of the Bibles. This is a total surprise for her. Okay, we'll have a very short little message. Hope. The hope candle. This kind of hope is different than what we hope for Christmas. We have all kinds of hopes about what we're going to get for Christmas, don't we? Yeah, this is a different kind of hope. This is the kind of hope that we know that at Christmas we already have Jesus. We already get Jesus, don't we? We have him with us all the time. Now, shall we have a quick little prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your hope eternal. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love for us. We hope that we all can live up to your expectations of us and share all of that love and grace and mercy with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go.
I think the quietly was a hope thing. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer, and we'll start with a little bit of silent prayer. Gracious God, your love reaches down to us in troubled waters. Your mercy lifts us up when we are sinking, and your forgiveness heals when we fail. Reach out to us now as we come to you in prayer and strengthen us for the challenges which are ahead. We remember those whose lives seem to be constantly disturbed, whose journey in this world is very much like a long voyage on a stormy sea. For those who have financial problems, who never seem to catch up in life, for those who have emotional problems, who live each day in anxiety, for those who have continuing physical problems, who never really seem to feel well, give them the stamina to endure. Help them to find confidence in themselves and in your love. These things we bring to you as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Let us have sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
come to this table, invited by our Lord. We take ordinary bread and we remember the Lord. Thus, the bread becomes holy. When you take ordinary grape juice and remember the Lord, the juice becomes holy. This bread, we remember the body that was given for us. The wine, we remember his blood was poured out for us. Bread and wine, from ordinary to holy. And we remember it as all are invited. Let us join.
Hymn number 295. We'll do stanzas 1 and 3. This very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room. In this very enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very
disciples in that upper room. He took the bread, and after he had blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup, and after he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me."
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we gather at your table this morning to celebrate the birth of Jesus in this Advent season. We also gather here to remember his ministry and his death and his resurrection, which guarantees all Christians eternal life. As we take our of these symbols, let us renew our faith and remember him in this time of joy. Amen. Thank you.
have received so much from God and in the teachings of Jesus. This is the opportunity to return a portion of what we have received. The rest of the world may know of God and Jesus and the wonderful plan that is out there for us.
Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we have all come together. We thank you for this beautiful season of giving. And we are reminded that you have given us the most greatest gift of all in your Son, Jesus Christ. As we receive our tithes and offerings, may they be used to help others and benefit your kingdom here on earth. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Scripture today is from the 7th chapter of Isaiah, verses 14 to 17. I can find it here. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For therefore the child knows how to refuse the good and chase the evil. The kings will be that you dread will not be in power. A book I read not too long ago had a story in it about a woman named Hope. This lady worked at a bookstore, and she was going through a difficult time of transition in her life. She wanted to become the owner of the bookstore where she worked, named Happy Endings. Hope had come up with a bold but risky plan to acquire the bookstore, but she was having a little bit of trouble getting everything to fall into place at the right time. She was worried and getting close to discouragement when she received a letter that had only one sentence. The letter read, "Dear Hope, keep on living up to your name." That's really our calling as well, to live up to the hope, to live up to our name as Christians. The name Christian means followers of Christ, disciple of Christ, one who is of Christ. So that's how we would live up to our name as Christians. If we take what Jesus taught us and reach out to one another in that spirit, we are living up to our hope. We pray that through the miracle of his grace and through the presence of the Holy Spirit, we become more Christ-like every day of our lives. Just under 39 years ago, I was on a plane flying back from New York with a 7-pound, 7-week-old infant. The wonder of suddenly becoming a single parent was coupled with the fear of making a mistake. As he slept on my lap, I looked down and made a trip of my own down memory lane. I thought of all the things my parents had done for me over the years, providing a happy and stable home with lots of love, special things like helping me learn how to ride a bicycle when my balance was not great, getting me piano lessons, going to recitals that were sometimes more painful than music. There were all the board games that preceded the days of television, and many, many educational opportunities. Even as I adopted this child, they were supportive and encouraging. At the same time I was flying home to West Virginia, my mom spent 24 hours traveling cross-country by bus to be with me during my first few days of parenthood. I could go on and on about documenting the sacrificial love of my parents, and as I thought to myself, how am I going to repay that? How can I even measure it? How do I express my gratitude to them for everything they did for me? You see, words aren't big enough. Gifts aren't big enough. There's not enough money in the world to repay my parents for what they did for me. And I hope the same was true for you. So what can we do? We pay it forward. We pass it on. I repay them by becoming the best parent I know how to my child. On a deeper level, we can think of it like this. How do we repay Jesus for what he has done for us? How do we express our thanks to him for that sacrificial and redemptive love for each one of us? The only way I can figure it out is we just have to pay it forward. We pass it on. We dedicate our lives to becoming the best Christians we can be. Or in other words, we try to our best, with the help of God, to live up by this name of Christian. Let me ask you something. Can people look at us and see clearly that we're Christian? We don't always wear a name tag that says that, or we don't have it tattooed across our foreheads. How would they know if we're living up to being a Christian? Living up to the hope that Jesus was able to bring us. Lots of ways, but I have a few suggestions this morning. As Christians, we live up to our name when we live with Christ-like commitment. When we study the life of Jesus, we strongly notice his commitment to the Father, his unflinching, unwavering, unshakable commitment to do what is God's will, even at those times when he really would rather do something else. Thy will be done was a constant in his life. Later we find that the Apostle Paul exhibited many of those Christ-like commitments. From the moment he encountered Christ on the Damascus Road, Paul was so bowled over by God's gracious love for him and forgiveness of him that he was intensely determined and committed to serve the Christ who had saved him. And he often was a bit offended that new churches didn't necessarily see it that way. Paul strongly said to them, "Don't question my commitment to Christ. I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." What he was meaning by this, through his efforts, he had had all kinds of things. His attitudes and his abilities, he had shipwrecks, he was imprisoned, he was often almost stoned. People couldn't quite believe that he had changed that drastically. Some years ago, I went to visit a friend of mine, 84 years old at the time, and she was without question one of the finest Christian women I have ever known. For some medical reason that they couldn't explain, she suddenly lost her eyesight. I went out to minister to her, and as so often happens to me, she ministered to me instead. Once again, I was amazed and inspired by her faith. She said, "Oh, don't worry about me, I'm fine. For over 80 years, I've had the gift of vision. I've been able to see the beauties and the wonders of God's creation. I had my sight, and now I've lost it." Well, I'm not going to let a little old challenge like this shake my faith. God is still good, and God is still with me. It'll just have to be a new adventure that God will see me through. That's what you call commitment, total commitment. Hopefully we can say the same about ourselves. Are we living up to the hope that Jesus brought us? I don't know. Sometimes I think we are. Other times I think we struggle. There's a story about two men who went camping. The second night out, they slid into their sleeping bags late, lying there side by side. One of them said, "When I look up into the sky at night, I see stars and planets, constellations and galaxies, and the vastness of space." He paused for a moment, kind of poked his buddy and said, "When you look up, what do you see?" And the other man said, "I see that somebody has stolen our tent." That's the way I sometimes feel today when I look at the world. Somebody has stolen our tent of character. I remember when character and ethics were of prime importance in our world. I guess that's dating myself a little bit. We had the Ten Commandments all around us. I even remember as a child that there was a little check mark that could be made on your report card that said character. Not real sure what it was supposed to mean. I remember when integrity and honesty and goodness and virtue were highly prized and touted in the world. The ethical guidelines of the Bible are not necessarily harsh rules laid upon us to restrict us and hinder us. On the contrary, they're God's gift to us to show us how life works best. For example, if we defy the natural law of gravity, we'll suffer the consequences. Imagine if I thought I could just ignore gravity and just walk off the top of this without messing with the steps. We both know that I'd be in real trouble. The truth is that most of the time, we do know what is right and what is wrong. But the problem seems to be that we're learning how to excuse and rationalize everything and how to justify whatever we selfishly want to do. Instead of embracing and teaching moral principles, our world today is sadly saying to us, it's not wrong if you don't get caught. There's a legend about a 17-year-old boy who several decades ago got lost in a coal mine in West Virginia. You cannot imagine how dark a coal mine in West Virginia can be. Suddenly, his light went out, and he was lost in total darkness. Terrified, he began to cry. He was certain that he was going to die down there, and in desperation, he fell on his knees praying, "Oh Lord, help me. God, please, please help me." Then he noticed something. Kneeling there to pray, the young man realized that his right knee was touching something very hard. He reached down and felt it. It was a railroad track. He knew that before the light went out, he'd been walking down the right side of the track in order to get out. And if he kept his hand on that track and followed it, it would lead him out. So that's what he did. He held onto the track and followed it, and eventually it brought him out of the dark, out of the depths of the mine, to light and safety. That's a great parable for us. If we hold on to the track of hope, love, and compassion, no matter how dark some moments may be, this track will bring us out and lead us to the light. As cliché-ish as it may sound, it's still profoundly true. Hope is the light. Love is the answer. And it is, according to Jesus, the key sign of discipleship. Do you want to live up to the name Christian? To live up to the hope that Christ brings us? Then live in the spirit of Christ-like commitment, Christ-like character, and Christ-like love. Amen. As we come to our hymn of invitation, it's a time when we invite those who have never yet accepted Jesus as Lord of their lives to come and make that confession of faith. Or if you're a member of a congregation elsewhere, we would invite you to come as we stand and sing hymn number 125.
Oh,